Britly.
Alexander calls you Brit.
Oh, yeah. Well, he, yeah, that's okay.
Britly. I'm here with Britly. Soy Eduardo Salgado here in the Excelsior. I'm really excited to kind of like talk about my history and my passion with instant photography in this world and what it means to take an image beyond that. To me, it's deeper than love. So I'm part of something great here. So I'm glad to be sharing my voice with you with this.
All aboard, next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Britly.
Flippy floppy.
My mom is hearing this. I love you.
Aw. That's so cute. Do you think your family will listen?
Someday.
They will?
Yeah. Someday they will.
Oh, they will when I release it, because I bet they love it. They're like,
I'll send the link to them. Yeah. They're like, hey, Ma, I got an interview.
They will love it. Yeah. Oh, thanks for being here. I think you sound good, right? Do you sound good?
I sound great.
Okay. I think you sound... All right. Hi, Eduardo.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Got some taquitos and a Red Bull.
Yeah.
I'm ready to start my day.
Yeah, life is good. We'll just start with a little conversation and then the whole world is going to be great. I love starting as like on a podcast in the morning. It's a great way to start.
It's a great way to start it. I talk to myself. And I'm like, how come I don't have a mic here? I got so much going on in my life. People should be hearing this.
Right?
But it's just all in my head. But like, you know, I'm just living life.
Yeah, you should record it. You do have a lot to say. That's so I met you through a friend. Yes. And I was on an Instagram live during the pandemic because I love to check in with people. That's actually how so you were the pre-podcaster. So like I started doing that and I liked it and I got a lot of positive feedback to the point where I was like, "All right, I'm going to make this into a podcast." So you were on the very beginning of it, Instagram Live, and okay. I was talking to you, and I was like, oh, wow, you have a lot of really cool things to say and a lot of passion, so thank you, yeah, for being here.
I'm great. I'm honored.
Yeah, the official podcast, so it'll be like the second time you're on. So tell me what your title is, what you call yourself, a Polaroid photographer or a visual artist?
I just call myself an artist.
An artist?
Yeah, because like, photography's always been a thing that I did.
Yeah.
Not just photography, but I did a lot of art. Like, I did a lot of drawings in high school. And that was something that I was really passionate about. I wanted to become an animator. I wanted to go to Fuso University, be an animator, try to work for Disney or whatever animated studio. Because I really was really into passion into animation. So that's when my passion started with art. But my art really started out with my eyes because I'd be always distracted. I'd be looking at things other people wouldn't see. And it's... I never thought about taking a photo until I got an iPhone 4S. That's when my passion of photography started.
It started with an iPhone. Oh, wow. So you're a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to hear that out loud. Like.
Mm-hmm. And it was great because like a lot of the tools that I needed to do photography was free.
Mm-hmm.
It was free on the App Store. The editing tools were free. Vizco came out not too long ago. So I was like, yo, this is cool app. I'll be editing my photos in there. It was amazing to me how small of a device it is, and you just put it in your pocket whenever you have to do it. Just take it out and take a photo. I really thought about how easy it was to take a photo. I didn't even thought the process of what a photography was.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with, in an age where digital was around. My family did shop with film. They never owned a Polaroid because Polaroids were really expensive at the time. So my family never owned a Polaroid. They shot a lot of disposable film, like disposable cameras, like Kodak film cameras.
Yeah.
So that's all my family had. They just kind of like stopped shooting film. They bought a digital camera at the time. I remember they would just use that to, for family occasions and take photos and all. But I never really thought about it. It was something that I was not interested. My family, once in a while, they give me a disposable camera, but I really don't remember going through those photos because I didn't know how to work the camera at the time. So I was not experienced with it. And I wasn't sure what I was doing with it. Maybe I got like one or two good photos out of it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But time has went on with the iPhone. It really opened my eye and like what I can do. And I was so passionate about photography to the point where like three or four years later, I had enough money saved. Bought myself my first DSLR camera.
Yeah.
A Sony A7. Wasn't sure if this was a good idea or not because it was really expensive at the time. And my mom was looking at me like, are you serious? Like, yeah. I mean, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
I could have just kind of should have went to a thrift store. But somehow I stuck with the digital, kind of went with that, invested in like Lightroom and all the stuff you needed to, you know, really get yourself off. And for me, it started really falling down because I kind of lost the inspiration of it. Yeah. There was no process to it no more. I got really bored with it. I want something more that I can, something that was different.
Yeah.
So I started going more to the thrift store. There was a thrift store real close to my mother's house. I would just go there all the time. That place was heaven. First time I walked there, there'd be shelves filled with cameras.
Yeah.
Imagine that, shelves of just like unwanted cameras.
Oh.
Of every type of camera that you can think of.
Wow.
And I'd just be like, thinking about it, it's like, is this even possible to shoot? Like, can I go to some camera store and buy this film and have it develop and, you know, get to do something with this? I was just curious. And it was dirt cheap. The cameras were so cheap. So I just remember be snatching a few.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so cool. Next day I come back, snatch a few more. And I made that like a regular routine where I would just go and see what they have.
Yeah.
I buy a few Polaroid cameras, not knowing where I can get this film. But one time my mother had this box of film, just photographs. There were only two Polaroids in there. And I got really curious about this format because it was unique, something I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it worked. So I did a bunch of research and, you know, that's where I really started like really investing my time in the history of Polaroid and where can I find this film. And it was different at the time because, you know, Polaroid went out of business in 2008, but there was a small Dutch company named The Impossible Project, and they reinvented instant photography into the world. And it was so mind-blowing to me to know that the only place that they're able to manufacture in this world is in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Any other factory that Polaroid had, they closed them down. They stopped making instant photography. It was really a sad moment that time. That was in 2008.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that as a kid. I didn't even thought about any of that.
Yeah.
But to know that it's being saved, that blew my mind because I got myself into really investing in instant photography around like 2015.
Yeah.
So I was like in the middle of it when it was like really getting that momentum off there because eventually they were making so much money that they started buying the rights for the name for Polaroid.
Yeah.
They named themselves the Polaroid Originals, and then not too long ago, they renamed it back to just Polaroid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just to know that you can go to Target and buy that film is mind-blowing to me.
I know.
I remember just going to National Camera Exchange. That stuff was like $25 a pack. On my 21st birthday, I asked my mother to buy me like two packs of Polaroid film. She's like, since you can get that stuff? I'm like, yeah. I did some research, and I found out that this place, you can buy them. It was like expensive. I like two packs for 16 photos.
That's so expensive.
But
the
first time experience it was taking a photograph of my mother and my sister. It really showed me the value of this. And it's crazy to me because like I don't know nothing about my family.
Yeah.
My past. I don't know who my grandparents are. I wanted to build a legacy that I can pass down to my children and know where they come from. Because it really hit me hard. Because we as humans, everything is just in our heads. It's just memories.
Yeah.
And luckily we have digital. We're able to capture those memories, but they're just ones and zeros. They're not real.
Yeah.
It's just digital. Yeah, and they can last forever, but like there's something about holding a real physical copy and then knowing that this is real. This is, you're proving that time is real. It's a time capsule. So I love that idea. So I just kind of like was really passionate about it. But I was still kind of like developing myself. How can I get better with this? Because it's not easy to. I just remember I'd be taking really crap Polaroids and be like, damn, I just wasted like this shot. And I forget to use the flash or use the exposure. I was just really new to it. There was a lot of errors and tries, but I just didn't stop. I didn't stop. I just keep on moving. I just trust the process of it.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, when I started really doing more searching out there, finding the right tools, the right creative tools that I needed. Because there were other creative tools that Polaroid has made.
Yeah.
Like my favorite one, two favorite cameras that I love dearly is everything that builds my whole legacy is the XX70, you know, the collapsible camera, iconic camera, one of the best instant cameras ever invented.
It's so great.
And then I have this other one. It's called a dime close-up Polaroid camera. So originally, this is a scientific camera. This is used to do a lot of science in the field, but originally it was used for dental work. So oh. You'll go to the dentist and they'll take Polaroids of your teeth.
Yeah.
And that's how they were able to document your teeth.
Yeah.
By you know, going to the dentist, and that's how they kept records. But it was mostly used for scientific reasons. So imagine being a scientist and have to go outside and take samples. That's what you use. Whoa. So Polaroid had made a lot of cameras, film specifically for the industry.
Wow.
So they had like really cool film, like X-ray film, ultraviolet film.
Yeah, they just the, bunch of the crazy aura stuff. Film.
Yeah, like I was like, wow, that's so cool.
How did they? So that's what did they use that? Because those cameras are expensive. Have you seen that? That's Polaroid, right? The aura photography.
Aura photography. First time hearing that.
I don't know. Interesting.
I never heard of that before. But like, I know that that Polaroid made a lot of film for like X-rays.
Okay.
And that's something that you go to the hospital and have to take an X-ray. But imagine if I had the ability to use that. Imagine the crazy things that could come up.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of using it for discovering what the person's wrong with them, I can just use it and take X-rays of something else.
Oh my gosh.
But in film, I'd be like, man, if I had a time machine, that's what I'd do. I'd just buy this film and people be wondering today, it's like, how is this even real?
Right?
I just love that idea that I can create something that seemed impossible to create.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not easy.
It's not probably easy. Why they called it the Impossible Project.
Yeah. Yep.
That's so cool. I love, because I am a photographer as well, and I love Polaroids. So I have a collection of Polaroid cameras. I wish, you'll have to come to my house someday, or I'm moving in here, so maybe I'll put it on the wall somewhere.
No, I love that. Same here. I also have a Polaroid collection, but it's like a museum to me.
Yeah.
Because it really shows, because I collected Polaroid cameras that throughout Polaroid's history and what they have improved in the cameras over the years. Because like the first instant camera was released back in 1948. That was the Model 95. So that was like the first instant camera that was released. It was not perfect. There were still like features that they were missing, but over time, over the years, they added those features. They made the camera more easy to use, made the process easier. So I collected cameras from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Not all of them, because they had a lot of different models. I only got the ones that like made an impact on Polaroids in the world of instant photography. So it's great because like I bring it to show it to children. Show them a little history about like the of photography, because I also got old Kodak cameras too.
Yeah.
Because Kodak also was the leader of at the time of photography. That was the only company in the world that you were able to go and have your photographs taken and have them develop. So it really shows you like how different it was, how photography was. Because if you take it further, you know, the photography becomes more complicated. You know, you have to deal with chemicals.
Yeah,
it wasn't safe. Not something that
it was. Yeah, it was mess. It was like it was a whole dark room, and you had to make sure you had all these elements and all this like liquid that was dangerous. And
yes.
Now it's like compact. It's in there for you, and it's sealed, so you don't touch it.
And then we go to like the future. I just got my iPhone in there. My old iPhone. It's just to show them like how like. The history of taking a
picture. So you save these to show the history.
Yeah. And it's beautiful because like they get to feel it, touch it.
So you do have your own little museum.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
It's the cutest thing ever. Because like children love to see it.
Yeah.
They don't understand it, but like the idea of taking an image.
Oh my gosh, I see you having a Polaroid museum. Like that's like your next investment.
That's so funny though, because that's what I wanted in the future.
Just like this little shop of you. And like in St. Paul, next to the science museum, and you just run it, and you're like, you get to show kids different cameras and like the history.
It's really important for the next generation because I don't know what the future holds with instant photography, but my what I want from this is I want my own children to experience this, my own grandchildren, so someday They can take polar to Mars and know what it truly means to be human.
Oh my gosh.
The things that, you know, for me, it's all about love. And this is the reason why I do it. It's because there was so much passion and love and just like, and the inspiration to me that I created for myself is just overwhelming. Cause like, I'm like going through my Instagram or look going through my box of Polaroids and be like, wow, I really took this. It just blows my mind to know that I'm capable of doing something like that. But like in the future, I just don't know. I want my children to continue this legacy for themselves, to not forget where we come from, not forget where your family is. Because I question my identity a lot. You know, I came here as a five years old, no idea what this country's gonna offer me. I don't remember much when I was a kid in Mexico. So it like kind of like knowing myself in this world was really tough. But I'm really glad that I found Insta photography and Polaroid. It gave me a purpose in life. It gave a new meaning to myself and to this new world of medium.
Yeah.
Because without it, I don't know what I'd be doing. Because I was dealing with a lot of drug abuse and just shit going on with my family. It was not easy.
Yeah.
Just finding something that you can escape. So that to me was my escape from my reality, from my past traumas and experience that I had in life. Now I can to focus on myself and just build this for myself without even noticing I was building a legacy.
That's
and
it's so just cool.
It's wild because like this saved my life. When I had no idea what I was doing. I just kept on moving with it. I know this was something that it was completely new to everyone.
Yeah.
I'd be pulling out a Polaroid camera into an event. And they'd be like, they never seen this before. They never experienced anything. And it reminds me so much of what Andy Warhol would do. Because the first person I Googled was like a famous Insta photographer because I was curious. Andy Warhol was the first one to pop out. So I was like doing a lot of, research about this person. So I was like, this is like his history about like what he would do with this creative tool. He'll go to parties and events. He'll take polar to people. People felt like they were famous because, you know, he would just set them out and people would just freak out and they'll look at it and they're like so amazed by it. The same experience I was having today. I felt like something that what Andy Warhol was experiencing.
Yeah.
In that time where digital did not exist. But like a time where digital was more distractive and disruptive, polar just kind of made something new out of it. And Insta photography does exist, but it came in Fuji Instax, and that was different. And that's a long history. People misconcept Fuji Instax is Polaroid, but it's not Polaroid.
Mm-mm.
It's an instant camera. There's a story behind how Fuji got themselves into the Insta photography game back in the 80s and 90s. But it was there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Polaroid.
So Polaroid almost is like, no, like when you say Polaroid, people think of the instant cameras.
Yeah, it's like calling Air Jordans and Nikes.
Or Kleenex or even, like tissue. Or...
two different things.
Yeah.
You know, they're Jordans, they're not Nikes. They're made by Jordan. I mean, they're made by Nike, but they're Jordans.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Right.
And like, I had no idea that like the misconception that people had on the name was like, something that it was important for people to understand.
Yeah.
Because that name is important.
Yep.
Because, like, the history of Polaroid is really quite interesting when you look at it. Because it wasn't even a film or a camera company at the time.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to know that at first, when Edward Land was just a kid, it all started out with an Iceland spar. And you're probably wondering, what is an Iceland spar?
Yeah.
It's basically a crystal. It acts like a polarizer, basically. So it's a crystal that would like remove the reflections from light. So it was like a crystal that was just like, if you hold it in the right angle, you can remove the glare and from the light and everything. You can see without having so much light. So Edward Land wanted to recreate that, basically. So he came out with what are known as polarizers. It's just a plastic sheet with crystals in it. So if you move them in a certain angle, it would remove the reflection of light.
Whoa.
And it's super cool because, like, it's in every technology. It's in our sunglasses, cars, everything.
Yeah.
There's so much history I can go in, but, like, I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah.
it's crazy because Edward Lam, when he first did it, it really started out with his daughter because when they went to San Monica right after World War II was over, he really had nothing else to do. I mean, what's next? I mean, he's this great inventor. He can do anything, but... Originally, he wanted to apply this technology, polarizers, into cars at the time, but it didn't work out. He was really successful with the U.S. government. You know, he was making goggles for U.S. pilots.
Oh, wow.
During World War II.
Wow.
They also made... he also developed... He knew the development of instant photography was a real thing, but it was only with the U.S. government at the time. So okay. He was only doing that technology for the war effort.
Oh, wow.
But when that was over, he went on a vacation. He had a traditional film camera like what I have, took a photo of his daughter. Daughter asked him, like, why can't I see the picture? Why do I have to wait? And that right there really got him curious. But I don't know how true that story is, but that's how his motivation was to create something instantly for people to experience. So that's why the Model 95, Model 90. Yeah, 95 came out, and it was like really changed the way how we do photography. But the technology did not exist, so it took them decades to develop, and it was only in black and white film. And if you actually get your hands on one of these, they're so complicated. There's so many steps that you have to do. You can kind of see why, like, for a consumer, it can be really stressful. But someone who's a diehard, you know, photographer. And they're passionate about it, no problem. But it was a really limited tool for a lot of people. It was not accessible to everyone, but it existed.
Yeah.
It was there. But over the years, the technology for it got better. Got better. And the thing is that Polaroid couldn't do it by themselves. Kodak were partners with Polaroid. So Kodak was manufacturing a lot of their film, like the negatives they needed to manufacture for the pack film. Or the roll film at the time, because they had Polaroid didn't have the capacity to manufacture this, so Kodak was doing that for them. But at the time, Kodak was not Edward Lam was not giving credit to Kodak, and Kodak was getting really upset by that because they were doing a lot for Polaroid, and Edward Lam knew that if he doesn't do this by himself, Kodak can just take over that and take that away from them because they knew how successful this could be in the future. They saw this as a threat, even though they worked together and they wanted to build something together with it.
Yeah.
But Edward Lam wanted to do this by himself, so he pulled out of the game. Not until 1963, the first pack film that was colored came out. At that time, he was secretly working on the XX70, aka the Aladdin. That's what he named it. And in the 70s, he announced the XX70. It really changed how we take photographs because it limited the discard of the negative. You get the picture and then the negative and you throw that away. There was just a lot of trash involved.
Yeah.
He wanted to make something that was all in one and happened all in one.
Yeah.
In one thing. So he came out with the XX70, you know, demonstrated. It was something like Steve Jobs would have done. I don't know if you know, but Steve Jobs was really influenced by how Edward Lam marketed and built this business.
Oh, wow.
That's why, like, with Apple, everyone wants something new from Apple.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting the new iPhone. That's what it was like with Edward Lam. He was coming up with new instant cameras that people wanted. And over the years, you know, they were just getting better and better and better. But eventually, Kodak and Polaroid went in a lawsuit because Kodak was like, you know what, we're going to make our own instant camera.
Wow.
So they made their own instant camera. And it's funny, I can go more in depth because Kodak was like serious and get into the market. They wanted to be a part of the market. They even asked Edwin to be a part of the market. They even asked them to license their product so they can make their own products. But because Edwin had hundreds of patents, he wanted to keep that to himself.
Yeah.
Because at times he would be like demonstrating the Polaroids and showing everyone, even Kodak's, showing off his product, proudly be like, hey, look what I made. But there was a time where when he would demonstrate it, they'll punch a hole on it and they'll put it through this metal pole. That's how they collected them, just to keep them all needed. But one of the Codex scientists will actually take one of these, because they understood how the chemistry worked. It was really complicated.
Yeah.
It's not easy to manufacture. So right. They took this little piece of plastic to their labs, find out how it worked, and that's how they were able to kind of like make their own instant film.
So they copied it.
Like they copied. They stole the technology off of Polaroid. And that's how they were able to make their own instant film in their own camera. And they went to... There was one of the biggest lawsuits in the 80s. It took over 10 years for 10 or 15, over 10 years, I'd say. Around that time, it was the longest lawsuit, the biggest lawsuit in America.
Oh, wow.
And Kodak was not the only company that was being sued. There was another company known Berkey. Berkey was a small company, but they manufactured cameras that used Polaroid film. But what Berkey was doing is they were making an inexpensive camera for other consumers who don't want to spend that much money on an expensive, expensive Polaroid camera. This was like a cheaper version. Polaroid wasn't at that moment where they were exploring that.
Yeah.
So they had the choice to let that go or sue them. They end up suing them, even though they could have made millions of dollars off of their film because of this camera.
Yeah.
But I don't know the reason, because of the patents. The patents is the reason why they got themselves in this hot mess. So they pulled out of the game. So it was just Polaroid and Kodak. And then Polaroid ends up winning. Kodak was forced to remove all their products off the shelves.
Oh, wow.
And then, Polaroid won. But Polaroid got sued again because there was just licensing issues. They wanted, other companies wanted to compete with them. They wanted that piece of technology.
Because it was so great.
So this one in the 80s, though. So Polaroid, Edward Land was going to reveal a new product that would change everything. That's what people thought.
Okay.
He came out with the Polaroid Vision. So what this is basically a camcorder, but it was on film. It was this big, bulky TV. You had this big, bulky camera with this big, bulky lamp on it. The film was rated like 40 ISO, so you literally need to go outside to shoot this. There was no sound. And you just take 8 or 10-minute video footage, take it back, insert it into the big box, and then let the chemical, let the wheel start turning so the chemical can process the negative.
All at your house?
Oh, in your house. Oh. So, and then once that's done, you take it out, you flip it over, you put it in there, and then the video starts, but there was no sound. See, this was really interesting product, but this is not what people want. Reminding, this is in the 80s.
Yeah.
Digital technology was really become, it was picking up.
Wow. And
it was becoming a serious thing.
Sony, it seems like such a pain in the ass in the 80s.
It was. And it was like, it was confusing, because like when I was like doing this research, it's like, Why did Polaroid or Kodak not embrace this technology?
Right.
And here's Sony actually embracing and making something out of it. And that's how Sony got themselves into the digital photography.
Yeah.
And they were the leaders of it. But Kodak and Polaroid didn't saw a future of it. They didn't want to do anything about it because they were making a lot of money off their film. Why they have to invest in digital? There was no point. Right. And the funny, ironic thing is, Kodak was the first to create a digital camera too.
Weird.
And it was super trippy because it was this big shoebox camera, and to record an image, it was recording on a cassette tape, and it took like a couple minutes for it to record the image, and I think it was like 0.1 or 2 megapixels. So image did appear, but it took a long time for it to create the image because the cassette tape needed to roll to record that information.
Wow.
But Kodak didn't do nothing about it. They embraced it. They didn't do nothing about it. Kodak goes bankrupt. Even Polaroid goes bankrupt. So when that was happening, they had no choice. So they were working with Fuji, and they licensed their product for instant photography for them to develop in exchange of VHS. Tapes.
What?
And other products too, like other products like VHS.
That's a smart move. Wait till you need something from them.
Yeah, and
to do
so
an exchange.
And that's what they did. That's why Fuji was making their own film.
Wow.
But they were only doing it in their own turf until like in the 90s they took it to the States, and it wasn't really successful. But years later, the idea of instant photography was becoming really popular, and the only company that was making that was Fuji. So you can kind of see why it was really popular now, and that's why people misconcept Fuji as Polaroid, because people don't know why is that like that. It's not Polaroid. It doesn't say Polaroid. It says Fuji, but it has the same characteristics of what Polaroid was back then.
Yeah.
So people call them Polaroid. And that made me curious about, like, why do people call this Polaroid? Until I actually found out why Fuji makes this, why they brought it into
That's
it.
That's so cool.
It's because
cool.
Polaroid was losing money. They were going through a lot of bankruptcies. Edward Land died in the 90s.
Oh.
So the company was just like passed down around. It was through a scheme, some like shady CEOs who used the company for luring their money. It really destroyed the company. Not until 2008 where they really went bankrupt, and that's where they started dismantling all their machines. They stopped manufacturing Polaroid film, cameras.
No.
It was pretty sad.
That is sad.
Because digital was really coming up, because the iPhone came out until like 2005.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's just crazy. iPhone coming out in 2005.
2005.
And it's just like, wow, you can really see how digital was really like destroying the whole film business. And it was just really bringing it down. But luckily, the Dutch company, Impossible Project, they really started that momentum slowly. And what time? They got to where they are now and got to where I am too. Because
they want to see it go away.
They want to see that go away. Yeah. And like, I'm really blessed to be a part of it, just to be a part of that movement.
But now the Impossible Project isn't around anymore, is that right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, they're around. They're Polaroid now.
Now they're Polaroid.
Yeah, because they made a lot of money, and so they bought all the rights and stocks.
Got it. That's what happened. I was going to ask. Okay, that's great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful? So they did it. They did the impossible.
They did the impossible.
I love it.
It's super cool because like it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I get to do something that many people get to do.
Yeah.
Like. Serious, like, yeah, I mean, for them it was like family occasions, but like for me it's like a whole different world.
Yeah,
I get to create in ways that people don't get to see it, and I get to hold it physically, real one-on-one.
That's so cool.
And I'm like, this is so valuable. This is something that I can see being put in a museum.
Yeah,
something that my family can keep.
What do you do with your Polaroids? Do you sell them? Do you create art? Do you have art shows? Like, where do they go? Do you scan them?
I frame them, though.
You frame them?
Yeah, I frame them. I got some in my house. I got some in Cafe Latte.
Oh, yeah.
I want to just
Do you work there?
Cafe Latte?
Yeah.
They're owned by the same family. I work in Bread and Chocolate, and Cafe Latte's across the street.
That's so cool. I love that.
So I was talking to Bryce about, like, hey, I got some artwork that I like to switch out over time, and he lets me. I was like, cool, I'll just come and switch out different piece.
So wait, you have a residency? It's not just a limited time art show?
Yeah, he just lets as long as I want. I was like,
okay, I'm gonna have to come see it now.
Yeah, right now what I have displayed is my dark slides.
Cool.
My mini canvases, I call them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's just something that I have. I go thrifting a lot, so I find a lot of frames, but I just haven't framed any work yet, but that's the plan, though. I've been working on some cool stuff, like small little collages that I want to get framed, but the goal is to have it all over the city.
Yeah.
In, like, coffee shops, offices. And
oh, cool.
Hospitals.
It's you like know, a, places yeah, anywhere. So you want to be more, like, the artist part instead of, like, did people ever try to commission you to do portraits of them on Polaroid?
Yeah, I have a lot of artists who really like the nostalgic of it.
Yeah.
And
I want to commission you. I want my like new profile picture in a Polaroid.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's like what I love to do with portraits. Is the reason why it got me really involved with instant photography, cuz it's so fun, cuz like there's so many like tools you can use, like Dover exposures, using gel filters.
Yeah.
Light painting, and like having a person to do it, you create something great out of them.
Yeah.
And they see something in them they didn't saw, and it makes them feel good. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
To know that it was just that one shot, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
I don't have to take another one.
That's it. I know. There's something really about knowing that you have one chance or like one shot, or even maybe in the case like you have 20 pictures on a roll of film and that you're going out today. Use it wisely. It's not just like I did today with you, like click, 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 click. Which I don't always do, but it's just like, you know, going out and being able to just think about what you're going to shoot and shoot with passion instead of shoot. Because I do think that there's something with digital photographers that is like, they're just like, oh yeah, I took 2,100 photos today. I'm like, why? I took one. And it's great.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I struggle with. It's like one night I'll come over, I shot over 1,000, 2,000 photos, and I have to edit, and it's like 11 in like at night, and
yeah.
I'm like, fuck me, I can't do this. I can't edit this. This is too late. With instant photography, I'm limited to how many photos I can shoot. If I'm gonna shoot eight. If I'm gonna shoot one it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to take more than 1,000. That's just
right.
That's just too much. That's why digital was like, I was struggling to find something with it.
Yeah.
There was no process. All I was doing just click, 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 click.
Right.
Without even thinking about what else can I do with the digital. So over time, you know, like when I learned to be controlled on how I take my photos, and when I do it with digital just became like a test shoot thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just want to see how it looks. Mm-hmm. I'll take one and be like, that's perfect. And then I'll take the rest on Polaroid.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. No, totally. Which used to be, like, Polaroids, didn't they used to be a test shoot for film?
Yeah, to test the lighting was right.
Yeah.
That was the way to do it before they shot on medium format or digital.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's how they used to do it back then. Luckily, Alexander was more, like, a mentor to me. This is the reason why I got super invested, because he tells me stories about when he was in college, and that's what they use. And he was part of the Impossible Project during the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And just him telling me about this, and he motivated me. He inspired me a lot. He taught me a lot of things about photography. And I wouldn't be where I am now without him.
Yeah.
Because he really was someone that I was seeking for. Something that I needed.
You're just a manifester.
I wasn't finding that anywhere.
Yeah.
For him, he really was there for me from film, from Polaroid, showing me things about the studio, how to, you know, use the strobe lights, and
that's so
all
cool.
Those, everything that I always wanted was there.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm blessed because I'm blessed to have a studio that can be there for me, and I can be myself and be in a safe spot and create what I want to create.
Yeah.
And that's what Alexander built for me, and I'm really grateful for that. Yeah. To be a part of that, because to me he's like a brother I never had.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, it's great to just to be with him and get to learn, because I never went to school, I never went to college.
Yeah.
Straight out of high school, I was undocumented, and I was like trying to get my DACA at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what my dreams and goals are. I was just really lost at the time, you know, with drugs and alcohol, and just discovering that, you know, not giving up on yourself and knowing that with time you'll get to where you are now, and here I am.
That's so cool.
I'm grateful where I am. Life is not perfect, so ups and downs, but, you know, I just keep moving forward what I do, believing in myself. I cry tears looking at my frame of Polaroids, knowing that, you know, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
Something that's worth crying for.
Yeah.
Because if I perish in this world, this wouldn't even exist.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be nothing that... It wouldn't mean anything to anyone.
Right.
It was just... It would have just kept on being... nothing to anyone. But it's something to me. Something that I invested my time and money in. And myself. And I created something that I'm proud to be.
And not a lot of artists can say that. They have, like, a space that they get to decorate and move stuff in and out of. So that's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah, because usually you do like a rental, or like you have an art show for a month and then somebody else comes in, and then so that's pretty cool. And now I want to go there and check it out.
Check it out. Yeah, it's great. It's like I have my own office studio and where I get to paint. If I during the pandemic, it was fun because like I got to really explore the art of it in the way that I thought of it.
Yeah.
Because I lived in this apartment and the way the ceiling was, it was like angled really weird. I had these lights and I was just staring at it for days. And like, I was thinking about it. I was like, should I play around with light and take a photo of my ceiling? So that's what I ended up doing. I started doing double exposures where I'll take a vertical and then I'll take just different angles and I'll change the lights, and it created something new out of it. I'm like, yo, this is trippy.
Cool.
So I was just playing with that, and then I had like these Japanese model figures where they're like kits. You put them together, add them detail and everything, and I wanted to take portraits of them.
Yeah.
So I'll be like using my XX70 with like a close-up lens, and the idea was to create portraits of these characters in ways that I wanted them to be seen as, like if it was in a movie.
Yeah.
So I was like storytelling with these characters, and it was beautiful because like I was in that universe creating that.
Yeah.
In my own space, and that was a way for me to storytell by using these figures in ways that I felt was something level, something that had a lot of emotion to it. Because if you think about Darth Vader and Kylo Ren, you know, they're two characters that kind of resemble a lot from their past, and to create something that, to have them bond in a way that, you know, it's the light and the good, but they're also the same people, the same beliefs and everything. It just hit me hard. I was like, this is beautiful. And then I'd be playing around with C-3PO and, you know, just creating these stories with instant photography, something that I really loved. I just enjoyed.
Cool.
Because I couldn't take portraits of people at the time, so I was using these figures as a way to express my way and how I do it with actual people.
Is that cool?
Super fun.
I know, it's fun. It's like everybody kind of did something new during the pandemic, especially with the artwork. Because you had to be creative.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. I was just stuck because like portraits were the way to go for me, but I couldn't do that no more. So I needed to find a different way.
Did you ever do self-portraits on Polaroid? Can you do
that? I never thought about it before. I remember I'd be taking self-portraits of myself, but I was like, I just didn't have the courage to take photos of myself. So I never thought about it too. And I was like,
using yourself as a model?
Using myself as the model. But this year, I want to do more of that.
Yeah.
Do portraits of myself, but do something a lot more different. I don't want to be just me. I want to be something of a different person and get to act on that person and have someone take my bullets and actually make something out of myself with it.
Yeah.
Something that will be eye-opening, something completely new to myself. Because I know I'm capable of bringing that to myself, but with time, I'll get there. And it's been happening because now I've kind of been on and off taking portraits of myself just for fun. I wasn't even thinking about it. And I'm like looking at it and my friend is like, we should do something for you. And I was like, yeah, you should do my makeup. I'll put a wig on, put high heels, I'll put a suit on, my right on. Cool. And just do something different.
Yeah.
You know, something that I won't even recognize myself, but I'll be proud of myself for doing something that I was out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would be a really fun way to express myself if I'm going to do Polaroids on myself.
Yeah.
I think that would be...
That's cool.
...really unique for someone like myself and my format, and just bring something to the world that be new to me. So, like, that's what I want to focus on.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Now I got funds for Polaroid. I'm good.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait for your museum too. I want to see you have a museum, like shop. Like, that'd be so cool.
Yeah. I was joking around with a friend. I was like, I want a museum that you just have coffee and buy Polaroid film and be a Polaroid museum.
Ooh. You I think you're onto something.
And I thought it was a cool idea. I was like, I mean, awesome. Because, like, people can just walk and appreciate the things.
You should call it, like, the Dirty Royd.
The Dirty Royd.
The Dirty Royd. Like, I don't know, because I think of dirty as, like coffee, like dark mud, you know, like, or the Muddy Royd. Or something fun. I don't know, but I think that'd be cool.
It's a cool, I love it, because, like, I love coffee and I love photography.
Same.
You got both things there. Why not just do something with that?
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe in the future it will happen. But
there's so many options for you. So many options. And you're unique and you're like, yeah you have a definitely have a niche. And like, yeah, it's really cool. It'd
be something really new to the cities. Yeah. To know that, oh, there's someone who's really passionate about this old cameras and actually did something with it and doing something to the world for it. And it's amazing because I am published, though. I'm published internationally. It's called The Polar and Now. The history is the art and the history of instant photography.
Oh, cool.
And that to me is everything that I always dreamed of being a part of, is to be in a published book that is completely new to the world. And
you
got to share it to now. And to be a part of that, it's like, that's like one of my biggest dreams.
Yeah.
To see my own photograph in that book, it's like,
that's so cool. Gives
me goosebumps.
And you have a copy of the book, yeah?
Yeah. And then I remember when they emailed me, I was like, what? Am I colored in an actual book? That is so cool. I couldn't say no to that. So
yeah.
I'm taking this opportunity. And it's awesome because I tell people, oh, just buy the book and I'll just sign it for you.
That's so cool. I want a book. Is it still for sale? Are they?
Yeah, you can get in Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So we'll have to have you write down these links too, so I can post them and share them so people can get it. And if people buy a book, will you sign it?
Absolutely.
Hey.
Because like the book I have.
Just
I
meet
have
you
the...
at the coffee shop someday, yeah. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I have the original Polaroid in a book. So if my family members or kids in the time ever do go through it, they'll find the actual copy.
That's
and they'll
so
know
cool.
that it's real.
It's
happened.
Yeah.
And so it's just a flex.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
Like, hey, you want to check out this book? And they're like, yeah. And like they look at it and there it is. And they're like, no way.
That's so cool.
But like everything I believe is in this book, because everyone that I know is like everyone in the community.
Yeah.
And it's just to be a part of that, it's just a big blessing.
Absolutely. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank
when
you.
Was that?
I think that was like 2 years ago.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's so cool. What's next like
what's
for
next?
You?
Just teaching it to children. I want to be involved with more with children and kind of show them the art of it so they can be comfortable. So someday they can go to their grandparents and who knows, they might even have an XX70 or a Polaroid camera hidden in the attic.
So I have a fear, and I guess that fear kind of already happened, but like... that film and Polaroids and stuff, it's all going to go away. Do you think that's going to happen eventually?
It could happen. It could happen.
It's sad though, right? Like, I don't want that to happen.
But I'm just going to keep on doing what I do now.
Yeah.
I just show it to children if they ever do have the opportunity.
But we need people like you to keep it, like, the passion going and, like, fight for it, you know?
And that's what I want. I just want to bring it into the community and bring a meaning to it.
Do you develop your own film too? With
when I used to do 35, yeah, I used to develop in my mother's bathroom.
What is this?
Oh, this is just a 35 point and shoot one.
Cool.
I got like Kodak film, but I forgot I had it in here. I just haven't shot 35 in a long time.
Yeah, but this stuff you'll probably send in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a lot of memories here I totally forgot about, and I used to carry a camera like this with me everywhere.
Yeah.
Even when I'll be biking to work, I'll bring this and my Polaroid with me.
Yeah.
That's how I go around. But I should stop doing this because, like, you know, you got to pay for the developing.
Yeah.
If you want the film to be scanned, it's up to you because I have a scanner at home, but that also takes, like, over an hour to scan. Cause
yeah, it takes a while.
It takes a while to scan. And if I'm developing my own film, I can do it. It's just... it's a hassle. There's a lot of process.
Yeah.
And I have a cat. My cat likes to be everywhere. And I want it to be around these chemicals.
Yeah.
Because my cat Gigi likes to hang out with me.
Just jump right into that fixer. Not a good situation for anyone.
So, like, I love it. I remember just, like, developing my own film in my mother's bathroom.
Yeah.
And she's just watching me be like, I'm just cooking right now. Just, like, agitating the film.
Oh, fun.
It was super fun. It was great. It was something that I really enjoyed. Someday I'll get into it. Something that, like, I love to do with children. You know, bring in some film cameras and let them play around. We can develop and right there in front of them.
Yeah.
Kind of show them the process and everything.
Yeah.
But right now I just want to focus on Polaroids and show them, because that's like the fun part. That's something that they can develop on themselves without have to worry about something like this.
Absolutely.
Because this is not accessible anymore.
Polaroid is like step one.
Yep.
And if you're like get into it. But yeah, I love film cameras. You're probably like, I've shot with a bunch of film, but it got too expensive for me. And I would develop my own in college because it was free to use. But yeah, so I'm probably like, after this conversation, you probably inspire me to like pick one out on my shelf and like fire it up.
Yeah, you should. I mean, that's what a lot of people should do. Like, I like just bringing it with me and just doing something completely random with it.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be having people cooking my food, but like, let me take a pull of it, and just random.
Yeah.
Like, I won't just remember that, because I know I'm going to enjoy that food.
Yeah,
so
I'd right?
be like, come across like, that's what I ate.
And I have a photo of you eating.
Yeah.
And that was a first for you. And also, it's just because I like to talk about also food on this podcast. Your top three favorite foods are
pozole and elotes.
Yes,
that's something I just grew up eating a lot as a kid, so that's what I enjoy so much.
And now I want to try your version of these.
Yeah,
can you cook?
Well, my mother's the one who.
Okay, I'm coming to mom's house.
In the summer, she does a lot of carne asadas. That's also one of my favorites. But my mother, my grandmother, she likes doing tamales too. That's also Ooh. Great. It's just, they make a lot of food, and yeah. I love being part of it. I'd rather just eat there, eating a Big Mac or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. That sounds way better. Yeah, so next time your mom's cooking, you just, you know, shoot me a message. Let me know. Give me the address.
Absolutely.
I'll bring my own plate.
Yeah.
No, that sounds great. And, because it is Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. So they have $2 tacos at the little market next door.
I always forget about that.
Me too.
There's places out there that offer sales on, like, discounts on Taco Tuesday. I'm like, damn, I got days off on Tuesday. I should probably get some tacos.
Right?
I didn't even thought about that.
Those are really good tacos.
They're good.
I can't believe there's pineapple on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do that?
Once in a while. I mean, I just like it with just pastor with steak, but like pineapple just hit it different. I like that.
That was good. I think that was the first time I've had pineapple on my taco.
Yeah.
That was really... He's like... what was his name? I'm a jerk. I can't remember his name. It's we just introduced each other. So it's an all, like, they're all Spanish speaking over here, and I was practicing my Spanish, and they were really sweet about it. And he like introduced himself and stuff, and just to practice, like, but he's like, pineapples? And I was like,
why not?
Sure, that's what you recommend. Like, that sounds great. Yeah. Put whatever on there. But yeah, it was good. But yeah, this has been really fun. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. I'm grateful.
I loved getting to know you, and it sounds like you know a lot about the history of Polaroid.
Oh, there's so much I can go into, but like, it's just like...
I feel like I'm a
historian.
Is there, which is really great, is there like a Polaroid? I know you said you wanted to, but is there like some sort of like Polaroid museum somewhere that's actually... around that people can like go look at stuff or like learn the history?
No, only me. This is there are places around in the country that offer there's museums that
have Polaroid section.
Like the Minnesota Institute, they got some of Andy Warhol's Polaroids there.
Oh yeah.
So that's the only way that like kind of like know a little bit about Andy Warhol and his passion with instant photography, but like if they really want to learn something, like real history of it and where it comes from and the tools, I feel like I'm the only person that offers that. And that's why I want to build, because I know it's really important for the future. It doesn't really mean a lot to people now, but the children, it's kind of means something.
Yeah.
Because adults are just distracted with technology, but children eventually are being sucked into it. They're being sucked to it right now.
Yeah.
My nephew's only like 3 years old. He got the tablet in his face. Ugh. But he loves it when I take Polaroids of him. Yeah. He doesn't understand it, how it works, but he loves having his photos taken.
You know, I have an obsession with, well, obviously photography. I've had a camera in my hand since I was six, but one of my biggest influences has been my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And I have a memory of the first Polaroid I have ever seen, which was I think I was like six or seven, mm-hmm. in a giant snowsuit, because mm-hmm. there's a snowstorm, and I was in their backyard playing in it, and he came out with his Polaroid and snapped like three photos of me and like let me keep it, and I was just fascinated by watching it develop, mm-hmm. and like, and I think that's when I was like, I need to know more. And yeah. he showed me his darkroom. He gave me like some old cameras that he had. And like, that was my beginning of my passion for photography. But it's like, it's timeless. Like, you can do it now to your nephew, right? Yeah. And they probably have the same reaction. Like, yeah. I don't know what this is, but I want to know more, hopefully. Yeah.
And I don't expect him to do what I'm doing, but I want him to treasure it as something yeah. that it's highly valuable for what I have built, because it's something that I can't let go, something that I'm going to pass down to them, and who knows what's going to be in the future. It might even fund him for his college. It's just the reason I'm building yeah. this is just for my family.
Yeah.
Because I can't give back to my family now. The only way to give them back is just this, because I know it's going to be valuable, and this is what I can offer them right now.
That's so cool.
And even though they're just paintings of the dark slides, photographs, but it means a lot.
Yeah.
So much more to the world for me to offer this than giving them more than, like, money, you know?
Yeah.
And for him to know that I'm doing this for him,
yeah,
he'll understand how beautiful this is, because this is something that you can't just turn away. It's something that you just have to kind of like have to build with me.
Yeah.
And just continue that legacy, because I want him to shoot Polaroids of his family too, and to keep that. So when he has kids, he can pass it down to his children.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, check out what your grandfather's been doing over the years. That's and they so get cool. to see the history of my family grow right there in front of them.
Yeah.
And to find a meaning of life right there. And to know that, to see photographs of me and their own grandmother, their mother, young, and in that moment, it's just beautiful. It's just great, because I always wish I can know who my family was.
Yeah.
I don't know much about who my ancestors were, because there's no documentation of it.
Oh, wow.
Because if I learned who my ancestors were, where I came from, I get a better understanding of what should I be doing, what I can be doing for my family. Like I said, we're humans. Everything is in our heads. It's just, we're made of memories.
Yeah.
And I need something real, because being human and get to experience life can be really confusing. You just don't understand what your purpose can be in this world. So this has always been my metaphor of my life and how I can bring something new to this. So when my children or my nephew goes through it, they'll see that it did with love and passion.
Yeah.
And something that they can keep on forever believing.
That's so cool.
It doesn't have to be photography. It can be anything.
Yeah.
Because like the idea is to be something that you're happy with.
Yeah.
Not something that you hate.
Yeah.
So for them to have that, to know that I have that inspiration,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to keep that inspiration. It doesn't matter if it's photography. Just whatever you're doing in life,
yeah.
just keep on living, but don't ever forget this legacy.
Yeah.
Don't let go of this, because this is so valuable to me, to my family, to you, to the world. It's everything that I put my blood and tears in.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to be passing down to my family.
I love it.
And it's like my mission right now, because I do believe that who knows what Pollard would exist, but I do believe Pollard's going to be around for a really long time.
I think so.
Because having to shoot Pollards in Mars, that'd be something.
That'd be so cool.
They're going to build their own civilization, their own lives. They're going to be people. Children are going to grow. They're going to forget what it is to be human in Mars and Earth.
Yeah.
And miss out the beautiful things what Earth has offered us.
Right.
And I want them to experience with that with other people.
Yeah.
Because people are love. People are the reason why you're here.
Yeah.
So don't forget that.
Yeah.
And keep that. And just do something that is completely different from everybody. Because that brings out something new to the human life of what you're experiencing. And it's important. Really important. For me, I feel like I'm not doing really much, but I'm inspiring so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because it makes me not want to give up on what I'm doing. Because it really means a lot to a lot of my friends, my family members, just people who are close to me. It means a lot for me to continue doing something, and they believe in me so much that, you know, it's giving me a purpose to wake up every day.
Yeah.
To believe that I am one of the best insta photographers seeing the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let no one take my magic away.
Yeah.
Because this is what I believe. This is what I'm good at, and this is what I'm gonna do. Even though it seems really crazy for anyone to say that, but this is what I put my blood and tears in.
Yeah.
And I struggled with insta photography. There are times where, I got mad and I destroyed the pack and I cut myself and
just
bleeding and I'm like frustrated and I don't know why things are not working out the way.
Yeah.
But I always have to remind myself what Edward Lent said one time, was the essence of creativity is not afraid to fail.
Yeah,
and exactly. I love that because that applies to everything that we can, everything we put our lives in, blood and tears. And I was like, damn, that hits so hard because I be fucking up Polaroids all the time. But, ever since I've been really thinking about that quote, it's okay to fail. It's okay to not be perfect.
Yeah.
And it's just trust the process.
Yeah.
And that's what we need in life. And that's what brings purpose to what you're trying to bring. And to me, this is so unique to the world. It just gives me a real purpose to bring. So right now, it's my mission to not just save instant photography. It's already saved. I don't have to worry about that. I already created the work that I wanted.
Yeah.
I already did everything I did with Polaroid. I'm really happy that I already did a lot of the work that I've done. I'm satisfied. Now I just want to show it. I just want to show it to the world. I want to put in museums. I want to go, put in different places in the Twin Cities.
That's
Show it to children. That's what I want to do right now.
That's so
I know
cool.
Eventually with time it'll just get there.
Well, I better get your autograph now while I can, because that's gonna be worth something, and I'll be like, no. This is my personal autograph.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, because, that shows me that you believe in so much in me, and that brings so much purpose.
Yeah.
Even this interview, for me to talk about what I do, who I am.
Yeah.
What I do with instant photography, it's just, it's so inspiring.
Yeah.
I always forget how inspiring that can be.
Well, your passion is very, it's very obvious that you are good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very obvious that you take pride in it. And just having that little conversation with you, 2.5 years later, I'm like, okay, no, we need to get you in here. Because I remember that, you know? So, it's great. It shows to everybody. So, it's great.
Yeah, I remember that I brought my Spectre camera at the studio, and you were there. I believe that was the first time I met you.
Yep,
and
over video, yeah. Oh, no. That was in real life, yes.
Yeah,
in real life. You got a cute picture of her.
Yeah.
Do you still have that?
I still have it, though.
Oh, good. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
You still have that photo?
Yes.
So I have a Patreon account that I like to give gifts from podcast guests. And I don't know if I probably forgot to mention this. But if you have something to give away to one of the Patreon members, and I was wondering maybe even just a copy, a scanned image of my dog with you signed it.
Actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that would be great.
I don't mind giving you some artwork.
Yeah, that would
I don't
be.
I might give you some art.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Awesome, because like
I would love to hang some here too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and I'd be down of course, to do I'd that. Want it signed though. But
but no, I'd love to. I love giving my artwork to people. It's just give something to for me to like. Hey, just keep it because it's all about love. It's all about like supporting.
Yeah.
And I just love giving that to people who are close to me, just like gifts. You know, like my sister's birthday was not too long ago. I was like, I had this drawing that on a dark slide, and I just gave it to her, and she loved it.
Oh, yeah,
I was
of
like,
course.
Oh, thank God. I'm like, she just, you know, I just don't have the money to buy her a gift. I just give her something that I've created. And
yeah.
She will treasure that a lot more than just something else that is disposable and totally forget. But she'll never forget that drawing. That drawing means a lot to me. So, and as long as she keeps that, who knows what that drawing would be worth.
Yeah,
because I want to help people, and I feel like I have the power to do that.
Absolutely.
Even though I'm not in that status yet, but I believe in myself so much that I know that if I gave something away, it brings a purpose and a meaning in a way that is deeper than love.
I think you're at that status. And also I just think it's the little things. You don't have to be super famous and well known to be good at what you do, and also make an impact on someone's life in a small way.
And I love that because I impacted so many people by just taking a photo of them. So it's like, wow, I just can't believe how I'm able to create that that reality to them. So it's like, it's just beautiful. I just want to keep on doing it until I'm dead.
And I think I have a feeling you will.
I can't stop.
Yeah,
I just can't.
It's so great.
It's just like, for me, like, I learned so much about...
Do you leave the house without a camera ever?
Sometimes.
Like, keys, wallet, watch, camera?
In the summer, I do. But in the winter, it's pretty hard because, you know, like, cameras get cold.
Yeah.
But that's something that I do a lot. I bring this or I bring my Polaroid. It just depends on the day.
Yeah.
But recently, I've just been working so much. So, like, I really haven't been doing a lot of photography.
Yeah.
I've just been doing a lot of art.
Oh, yeah.
And just the 4-H. So that's all I've been doing.
Oh, yeah. So you told me about the 4-H, but I don't think you said it on here.
Oh, yeah. So the 4-H is... So I was at work, and I was talking to someone who works at the U and works knows some people about working with children. It's my first time even hearing this, but I was telling her about my passion, what I want to do. And so it's weird because I'm really good at manifesting things.
Yeah.
Because I know that when I went to Texas for Policon, I was just there with everyone. I could just be a nerd and just talk about Polaroids, take Polaroids.
Fine.
Even giving some advice to people who are getting into it.
Cool.
It was great to be a part of a community like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the folks there were also teachers. They teach children. And I'm like just thinking about like maybe I want to do something like that. Maybe if I can somehow connect with someone here in Minnesota, tell them about myself and my passion, what I want to do for the future with it. Maybe I can go somewhere with that. And one time I was at work, I was talking to one of the regulars who would come in. Her name is Ashley. And I was just talking to her about myself and what I want to do with children. She's like, oh, that's so interesting. And she gave my boss gave my email to her, and she sent my email to some other teachers, and they hit me up and they told me to become a volunteer for this because they thought this was really awesome. So I was in a Zoom call with them, you know, telling you everything about what I believe in and what children should be doing with this. And they just loved it, and they wanted to be a part of something. It was so unique. They needed something like this.
Yeah.
It was so new that they couldn't say no to it. And they were so excited for me to be a volunteer for them. And that's what I want to do. And I even though I don't make money off of it, but I do it with passion and love. It's something I want to pass on. I don't care. I don't care if I'm like not making so much money. I'd rather be broke and do something that I believe in.
Yeah.
Because I know this. I believe it in so much that it's important for children to learn this because they're the future, they're the next generation.
Yeah.
I'm already now.
Yeah.
But they're going to be the ones who are going to bring a new purpose to this, a new vision of what what the future is going to be.
Yeah.
And I fucking love that. Yeah. Because culture keeps it's changing every day.
Yeah.
It's changing every day. And I'm so fortunate to be a part of that, taking photos of people and doing things that you normally won't see in the past.
Yeah. Or
do in the past. So I'm just like in that cycle, just believing that I'm making a real difference, and I am making a real difference.
Yeah.
And it's just mind blowing. I'm just like, it's beautiful. I just don't know how to describe it. It's like God came and saved me. Pollard was my savior.
Oh, that's so cool. And
now I'm Eduardo.
Yeah.
With a ghost machine. And I'm just myself, and I love that. And yeah. I'm just like so comfortable on my purpose that I'm beyond something more than this.
Yeah.
And I'm destined to do this right now because this is what I am. This is what built me to be. So here talking to you right now, this is great. Like your folks listening, like damn, like how can you be so passionate about something that could have just disappeared forever, not have a meaning to anything?
Right.
And here I am, still keeping that legacy alive.
It's so cool. And it almost died. Like, it almost went away. Polaroid. So crazy to think about that there, you know, people pulled together and got it back. Mm-hmm. So that's so great. But
yeah, because like I said, Polaroid was my savior. Man, I was going through a lot of crazy shit in my life.
Yeah.
And at one point, I almost killed myself.
Oh, my gosh. And it's
like, you know, like, I ain't had a lot of faith in myself.
Yeah.
Because it was really tough. You know, this world was super tough on me.
Yeah.
So it was like, I needed something to have a real meaning to keep on living. And this was my way of living. This was what was a way for me to be okay.
Yeah.
That this is who you're going to be, and this is who you're going to build on.
Yeah.
And yes, it's going to be hard. And you have to accept that. And I know that Polaroid film is not cheap, but here I am still doing something with it because I know all the loops. I understand how to save money. I know all the tricks to continue shooting without breaking the bank no more.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful because like recycling is really important. You don't think about, you don't really think about recycling art.
Yeah.
Or like doing something out of trash and making something new out of it. The dark slides were a way for me to make something new out of it. It first started out with my typewriter. I got a dark slide and I jammed it in there and I was just writing quotes. I was like, this is super cool.
On the slide?
On the dark slide, yeah.
What?
Yeah. I had like this white ribbon that I found.
I have white ribbon and I'm like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, I was like curious what the purpose of the white ribbon was for.
Black paper or...
Yeah. So I was just like typewriting and I was like, this is so fun. And I was like, I had an acrylic marker. I was like, might as well draw something. And that's how it all started. I started drawing. Then I was using acrylic paint. I was like, this is so much fun.
Oh my gosh.
I'm actually bringing something from the past into something that I want now. And it's like, this is great.
Oh, I love that.
I get to can still continue my passion with my art.
Yeah.
It's not gone. It's still there.
Wow.
And to know that I can still continue with my artistic skills.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. Cause that to me, that was my passion. That was everything that I wanted to do. Now I'm doing it now. That's why I'm so not cool. Taking photos no more. I've just been mostly just drawing on dark slides. Cause the dark slides are so cool.
Yeah. And they just get tossed.
Yeah. And they get tossed and no one really cares about them.
Wow.
And like, I remember I was in Texas and I was telling people about like, I didn't really have money to go around and take portraits of people. I only had like 2 packs of Polaroid film. But I was telling people like, you know, I'm also an artist. I draw.
Yeah.
And I was telling about the dark slides. So there's 2 different dark slides. There's the black dark slide from like 600 film or I-Type. But the I-Type has no battery in it because the battery's already built in the camera. So the pack film is a little cheaper because there's no battery. So when you take it apart, there's a metal sheet and then there's a white piece of paper. I don't know what the purpose the white piece of paper is in there for, but it's just a white piece of paper. And I was like, just looking at it, and I was like, yo, this is interesting. So I started drawing on them, and then I was like, I brought some of my dark slides and the white slides with me just to trade art with people. And I was just there, and I was telling people, because they were throwing away their cartridges away with the white paper in them.
Yeah.
I told them, man, just donate them to me. So I had people donating white paper to me. And one of the organizers had a pen that had Polaroid on it, because Polaroid sent some free goodies for people to give away.
Yeah.
And they gave away a bunch of black pens. And I was like, yo, I'll take the pen, because there I was drinking my Modelo drawing.
Fun.
It was great. It was so much fun.
That sounds so fun.
And I was just trading art, because like people were just giving me this dark slice, and I was just drawing things, and I was just giving it away.
When is the next one? I want to go.
Next one is going to be, so on May 3rd to the 12th. I don't know what date, but it's going to be in San Francisco. The next PolarCon is going to be in New York City. I'm crossing my fingers. If I have the funds, I'll definitely be going out there. Because, like, the polar community is so big.
In May, it's in New York or San Francisco?
In May, it's going to be in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And, March is going to be in San Francisco. May is going to be in New York City.
Okay.
So there's like, it's happening in the East Coast, West Coast, and Texas.
I want to go to one. That sounds super fun.
It's so great, because like the community there is so big. It's so big on like film photography, Polaroid.
I'm into all that. So I want to be there. I want to play with stuff and learn things.
There really is nothing like that here in the Twin Cities. I mean, yeah, there are like film communities, but they only shoot 35 in medium formats and a bunch of old cameras. But there isn't like anything like with instant photography. So I want to do something like that here, host my own PolarCon.
Yeah.
Might as well host it with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Because the children are just the future. There are a lot more people, a lot more kids who are more fascinated by this than by shooting something like this or digital. This is completely different, really new to the world for them.
Yeah.
So I feel like children will have a lot more fun than actual people would, because when I talk to other people about Polaroids or instant photography, all they do is they like to complain. Oh, I just have it in my shelf. I shot a pack. The film is expensive. Yeah. I can't get the film right, so I kind of give up on it. It doesn't really... They start complaining, saying things that the film is wrong, the camera's wrong.
Especially people from like the 70s, and that's a lot of what the adults are, is because they lived through that.
They lived through that.
The Polaroids, and they're like, boo.
It's great, because like, I'd be, you know, like meeting older folks and be like, oh, I used to shoot one of those, you know, and here I am talking to them like, oh yeah, I love making art with them. They like, it reminds them of their past, and I love that, because like, because it's just beautiful, because I can connect with them with it. Because, like, to them, it was, like, treasure. Something they can just hold and feel. It's completely a way of the way how they were able to take an image instantly. Yeah. And that's how they got that photographs for their families. And it just meant a lot to them.
That's so cool.
To see someone else keeping that legacy with Edward Land.
Yeah.
It gives them so much hope. It's like they're not forgetting the past. They're actually embracing it and actually doing something with it for the future. And it's crazy, because like whenever I pull out my XX70 with other people, they think it's a camera from the future. But it's not.
It's from the past.
It's from the past.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I love that. They're like, whoa, what is that futuristic camera?
I've never seen anything like that. I just pull out of my jacket, fold in, they're like, never seen anything like that, and I just feel so powerful. It makes me feel like I'm just so different than everyone.
Yeah.
That what I do is just, it's so unique, and just brings out so much of what I believe and everything I do in this world.
Yeah.
And I know my purpose, and it's just for other people to know, like, wow, this dude really found his purpose by these old ghost machines. That's inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, you won't find anyone here in the Twin Cities who wants to take it beyond like I do.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's incredible. It's a great story to tell to my family and to people who are close to me of my past and what I did. because my mother loves everything that I do.
Oh, she's your biggest fan?
She's my biggest fan. Like, when I used to, like, draw a lot, when I started losing faith on that, I would just throw that stuff away.
Yeah.
My mother kept a lot of my artwork, and she frames them and puts them in her house. And, like, I remember the first time when I saw that, I was like, no way she kept that. Because I remember throwing that away.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. Like, my mother kept... She believed in me so much that she even went on the trash and saved that.
What?
Saved it. And I'm like, the point where I just had no faith in myself.
Aww.
For her to save that meant so much to me. So much for everything I have fought for. And I'm like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, that's so
sweet. She gave me the truth about what I'm capable of doing. And everything I have built with this and to get this tremendous support from my family.
It's nice to have a mom who's your number one fan. I can say that because my mom is my number one fan of anything. She'll like name my photos for me, and she'll also just, she listens to every podcast episode. So hi moms, both moms. What's your mother's name?
Blanca.
Oh, what a beautiful name. Yeah. Aw.
Yeah.
Well, hello.
She's such a sweetheart. It's crazy because my mother had me when I was young. She was like probably 15 or 16 years old.
Oh, wow. That is young.
Super young. So
So she's like my age? No, I don't know. I don't think I'm that much older than you.
No, it's just wild because like... My mother looks so young, and everyone assumes that I'm like her boyfriend. I'm like, no, that's my mom.
I know that. I can see that. So can I ask how old you are?
I'm 26. I'm 26. I'm gonna be turning 27 on June 21st.
Okay. Well, so then that makes her how old?
Because
I'm trying to do the math.
She's gonna be turning. I gotta look
like
that
42.
Up.
Like
42. Yeah, 42. I was gonna say 43, okay. But it was like,
that is like really young.
Yeah, super young. And
that's like Joe's age.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about because like my mother has done so much more for women for her age.
Yeah.
She could have done so much more for herself, but she sacrificed a lot for us. And I don't want to put that through my children, if I ever have children, mm-hmm. I want them to live a normal childhood life. Yeah. My childhood wasn't normal. I mean, I needed to be sneaked in the border with me and my sister.
Yeah.
Stayed in a home.
Wow.
My mom and my mother was dealing with an abusive, my father was really abusive at that time. I almost killed my mother. So she needed to escape from that.
Yeah.
So my grandma telling me stories about my father, both of my mothers needed to cross the border. It was one of the dangerous things that I've had to do.
So dangerous.
And for
she
me,
did it for you.
She did it for us. Me and my sister were really lucky to cross the border with no trouble.
And your sister's younger too, right?
I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
My sister is like 22.
So she must have been just a baby.
She was just a baby.
Oh, wow.
And it's crazy because like she has a kid too. And she's young too.
Wow.
And I'm like, everyone assumed I was going to have kids, but I'm like, not in this economy.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, not happening. But it's beautiful because like my mother's young.
Yeah.
She's still strong. She's still here. Still here supporting me every step of my life. I'm just grateful for that. She's the reason why I kept on my passion, because she was the first person I took a Polaroid of.
Oh.
And right there, it showed me. Showed me the whole world that I should believe in.
Yeah.
And my mother brought me into this world for a reason.
Oh.
And she's my savior to how I am today.
Wow.
She's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Wow.
And it means so much to me, you know, like it's my whole life now. If my mother believes there's so much for her to go through the trash to save those drawings for me.
Oh.
It means a lot to me for today to continue that. Oh,
that's so sweet.
It is.
It's awesome. And having a good, strong parent and like somebody that is on your side is so important, you know. And some people don't have it. And
no.
You know, it makes things a lot harder.
It does.
It really does.
It does.
So
my mother needed, both of my mothers needed to play as my father because I had no father at the time.
And
I, you know, like for me, struggling, who am I as a man.
Yeah.
And my mother, my both mothers built me the man I am today, and I'm grateful for that, because you know, they were there through all that drug abuse and the alcohol, and they see the ugly side of me.
Yeah.
And I could have just like went in a different direction, but they were there every step of me, seeing the ugly side of it and being there for me. And I don't think any other mother want their own children to go there, because a lot of parents will give up on their children and just let go of that.
Which I never understood. I could never do that if I was a parent.
That for sure would have ended me if I never had that support.
Right.
I always been living on the edge.
Yeah.
I still am living on the edge. Like, I love the feel of knowing that I'm close to death. It makes me feel alive.
Wow.
It makes me have a real purpose in what I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy as being a human.
Yeah.
And here I am, like, you know, am I going to be able to pay my rent tomorrow? I'm going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen? So like I said, I wake up with a real purpose.
Yeah.
Even though I have to wake up with purpose to go to work or a photo shoot or me even drawing, that's my purpose. That's what I should be doing.
Yeah.
And it means so much more because it's giving me a reason to be alive.
Right.
And I got to learn so much about the beauty of life and to be there with people who are there supporting me and loving me. And I just, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
I never would have thought of this existing.
Yeah.
And
I truly believe that if you just put effort into yourself and your life, that things are going to just come together for you. And like you said, like, you know, you as an artists kind of aren't the richest people I know. but as long as you're doing your passion and pursuing it, you're like, the things that you need are just going to come to you. You're going to pay rent barely, but you're going to pay it. You're going to eat. You're not going to have more food than you need, but you're going to eat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like that's kind of just, like, as long as you're doing you and what you love and healthy and trying to, you know, keep this momentum, I think that just things kind of come together.
Yeah. And like, this year has been one of the toughest years for me, but I just kept on moving.
Yeah.
I knew what I believed in myself. I knew what I got myself into. So it was like I inspired myself.
Yeah.
Every time I look at that frame of that frame that I have hanged on my wall, I look at it every morning, and I look at it, and I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I know who I am as a person.
Yeah.
So I'm that to me is just I just can't stop. It's so much I even got a tattoo of it.
Let me see. Can I see your tattoo?
It's just a Polaroid.
Is the coolest.
And like
and I have no. What color is that Polaroid?
It's just a pink frame.
It's really cool. It just, you seem like the yellows, the oranges, the pinks, like that kind of shade looks good on you.
Thank you.
And so that's why I was like, because you came in here with this really cool vintage orange jacket. I mean, I think it looks vintage, but I don't think it is. It's brand new, right?
I didn't even ask him, like, but it's like 100% leather.
Yeah, it's super cool.
It smells so good. It's like the aroma.
Walked up to you. I was like, "Why do you? I haven't seen you in a while, but why do you look so cool?" Like, that's my thought. Like, I haven't seen him in a while, and he looks really cool. What is happening? Who are you?
I don't know. I just like being myself.
Yeah.
I just don't realize that I'm being myself, and people just love that because, like, people don't tend to think about that.
Yeah.
Because they're so distracted in life, and they forget about themselves. You gotta take care of yourself first.
Make absolutely.
Yourself good. You're the main character in this.
Yeah,
movie.
You can't. You can't help somebody if you can't help yourself. Like that airplane. You can't help somebody with their oxygen mask until you put your own on, right?
Yeah.
Because, But, well, I think we're getting down to it. This has been really fun. And I think I would like to do maybe talk about future art shows with you.
Absolutely.
And stuff. So,
I'd love to be a part of this again.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because I have big projects for my podcast stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, well, let's talk. Yeah.
We're going to talk some more. It's going to happen in the future, though.
Exactly.
No,
so
I had a great time.
Music at least I and got to, Polaroids. Yeah. we should have a museum day. Could we do a museum day where we have like a little, like a kid day?
Yes.
We have like people bring their kids in and
I'll
we talk.
I'll bring my camera collection and I'll, you get to play with them and kind of give you a little background of it. How it works. Because like that's the crazy thing about these cameras is that how do they work? How do they do it? So it's fun to demonstrate how what it meant to take a photo. So it's like it's awesome to get hands on on something that could have been gone forever.
This is so cool. I have so many ideas. Okay, cool. We'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk off cast. So, yeah. The last thing I would like ask for you, we kind of did an intro when you said hi to your mom. I feel like that was a cool intro, but could we do an official intro and outro just in case we want more content? Okay. So, we can be creative with it. So it just, the podcast is called Excelsior and, you can just say like, hey, this is Eduardo. Do you go by, is that what you go by? Like, or do you do your full name or?
I just do Eduardo.
Eduardo. Cause yeah. I don't even know your last name.
Oh, not many people can pronounce it, but it's Eduardo Salgado. I just like saying it in Spanish. It's really weird in English. English is Salgado. It just sounds weird.
Say it again. So will you say your whole name? Because on here, like, introduce yourself. Because you, it sounds beautiful. Okay, it's ready.
Eduardo Salgado Hernandez.
Wow. Wow.
I just say it in English and in Spanish, and people just look at me like, why are you saying it in Spanish? It just sounds cooler.
It does sound cooler. And yeah. And you're Spanish. Like you can say it. Yeah. I'm going to learn. So I'm practicing my Spanish again, like I told you. So then next time I see you, I'm going to have a full sentence for you. And we'll
have a conversation in Spanish.
Yeah. Someday we will. We're going to. And hear this now. I'm going to call you one day and just start talking to you in Spanish and be like, oh my gosh. I've been learning silly things and the kitchen guys like to teach me things.
No,
so,
that's great.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect. I mean, like, I always tell people the one thing they should know is one cerveza, por favor, o no está el baño. That's the two things.
One more beer, please.
Yeah, like,
I know that one.
That you should know if you're like in a Spanish country.
Yeah. So, what's the other one?
¿Dónde está el baño? Where the bathroom at?
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that's important because you gotta go.
Oh, I love Mexico, too. I've been there once to photograph a wedding, and I had no idea. Like, I had no idea what all-inclusive meant until I got there.
It's a beautiful country.
Though. Yeah. Oh, we got dogs. They're letting loose. Jeez. Okay.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
It's a wrap.
I'll start this one. Okay. So that was Eduardo, and you'll see him next time at the Polaroid Museum of Minneapolis.
Or somewhere in the cities.
If you want to see his work, check out
On Cafe Latte or Flavor Cafe. That's where I got my artwork displayed at the moment, or my apartment. My apartment is always.
Don't come to his apartment. That's creepy. And don't tell anyone where it is because that sounds creepy. But you also may be. Is it safe to say that you may be making coffee at Cafe Latte? Or no? Do you not barista there?
I barista at Cafe Latte. I mean bread and chocolate.
But and chocolate.
I Cafe Latte is where my artwork is mostly.
Okay. Oh, okay. So but okay. I so if you want to get a coffee made by the hands of Eduardo, go to.
come buy bread and chocolate. I'll hook you up.
Bread and chocolate.
I'll hook you up with some good croissants.
Ooh.
A good sandwich.
Do they have chocolate croissants?
We have chocolate croissants.
You better.
On Saturdays or actually Sundays, they have like a cream cheese chocolate croissant. That's worth.
Okay. What days?
Saturday. In the weekends. It's only on the weekends they have this croissant. But other days, I mean,
I'm coming for you, Eduardo.
We have
watch
real
out.
Good croissants, though. Just make sure you don't drop your croissant.
Oh my gosh.
My croissant. I hear that so many times.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's so funny. But like, don't worry. I got you. I got you another one.
Oh my gosh. So I work at Caffetto. You know where that is?
Never heard of it.
Uptown. It's in Uptown. But there are, we get baked goods dropped off every morning, and we only get like 3 chocolate croissants. Ooh. And they go so fast.
No, I bet. I
mean, like, if they would drop it, you're screwed.
We got chocolate croissants every day, so don't worry.
Okay, I'm going to come over there. I'm going to go, yeah. But, all right. It's been real. We could keep going forever.
Yes, it's been a wrap.
Yeah, we'll see. There's more to come of Eduardo.